All right, with that, we're off and running. My guest today is Joe Wilson of Nameless Entertainment from Lawrence, Kansas. Joe, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, I've lived in Lawrence a few years. I'm not a student, never was. I just moved to Lawrence from a smaller town, Pittsburgh, Kansas. Moved here because it's a lot nicer here than pretty much anywhere else in the Midwest. And I do shows here and there, pretty much wherever I can find a space, you know.
Cool. Part of the reason we brought you in here today is because you kind of have your fingers in this sprouting DIY scene, or you're at least helping to cultivate the scene. You're always got shows going at venues like Duffy's and Pool Room, and used to be Gaslight Tavern, but now it's gone. Sadly. Rest in peace.
Sadly.
And so I thought, you know, maybe you could introduce us to some new music and talk about some new bands, and also talk a little bit about what you do and you know, the art of, you know, running all these shows simultaneously.
All this madness.
Are you a musician yourself?
No, I used to play bass when I was younger, but kind of gave that up a few years ago before I really even knew anybody around here to jam with. And, I played, but it wasn't really something I guess after a while it didn't really seem something realistic to me. I don't know. I hate to say that in a town like Lawrence where, you know, you can do so much musically with pretty much whoever, but at the time, I just didn't know any better, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So.
And now that you're rolling in money doing this,
yeah,
you're probably thinking you made a good choice.
it's definitely a little more fun. I mean, you definitely get to deal with a lot more people, you know. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, just through my friends and the relatively few bands I know, it's. I guess you could say I like dealing with getting to know all these people better than being, you know, I mean, I can't imagine how they're all stuck in a van on tour or, you know, even getting, you know, burnout playing local shows, you know, or it just, you know, leaves for a little more options, I guess.
Cool. Well, part of what we're here to do is listen to some new music. This is David Hasselhoff on Acid, and it's pretty cool stuff. Let's check it out a little bit more. So have you gotten any feedback from David Hasselhoff?
feedback? Feedback as in, I mean, we all get along real well.
I mean, the actual David Hasselhoff.
Oh, that guy. I'm sure eventually they will. I'm sure eventually we all will. But
that's how you know that you've arrived, when...
When you got to change your name, yeah.
When you got to change your name. How'd you meet these guys and come to work with them?
I met them through another band who you'll hear later called Brainbow. Brainbow I've known and been friends with for about 3 years now. Another really good Kansas City band, really good guys. So I've met a lot of, in fact, most of the bands I'm working with these days, I've met through people that were around when I kind of started a few years ago. You know, there's not really too many bands that are around from, you know, the past 3 or 4 years when I started kind of doing this, except maybe like the Cast Pattern and Beowulf and stuff. But they all have led me to other people who just keep leading me to more people and more people. And, you know, it's just kind of funny. You just notice how meeting one person to another, you know, everybody's got kind of the same vibe and same kind of, everybody's kind of already on the same page, you know, like everybody just introduced me to other people who already kind of know what I'm into. They say, hey, meet this guy, or
What is it that you do exactly? Would you consider yourself more of a booking guy or a manager or something else?
Definitely not a manager. I get kind of uncomfortable when people call me a promoter because I don't feel like a promoter because I don't really go for the promotion or the advertising aspect of it. I like the booking and the connecting bands to each other kind of aspect. I definitely get a kick out of taking one band, introducing them to another band, whether they're the similar type of music or whether they're completely different, and I think they'll just get along with each other as people, and they'll hang out and get drunk at the shows together, and everybody will leave happy, and it's just a big party, really. So
you do a lot of shows at a place called Duffy's, which, from my understanding, is inside of a hotel, specifically.
The Econo Lodge on 6th and Iowa. I hear they got good rates, too. And they're good, people there. So.
Yeah. How did that come to pass?
I haven't been doing shows there as long as I have been in other places, like the Pool Room, or as long as I did at the Gaslight, or even back when I used to do shows at Vermont Street Barbecue. People just kept telling me, hey, Duffy's at the Econo Lodge has done stuff. And people have told me about it for a few years, and I had heard about karaoke and some bands, staying in town at the Econo Lodge doing, or what used to be the Ramada Inn, doing karaoke at Duffy's downstairs, like Tim Berry and Avail and other bands like that. And they, so I think at some point I just called up there and asked what we needed to do to, cooperate. I just want to stay within whatever guidelines they want me to stay within, time-wise or noise-wise or whatever. I didn't think they'd really be that interested in having many bands, let alone some of these really loud bands that we have there. But they said there's no actual rooms above the bar, So Justin, the manager, is really cool about it. I recommend anybody that, needs a place to play to just call up Duffy's. I mean, Justin's never denied me a date, so weekday, weekend, whatever. So.
What about the patrons of the hotel? Did they ever, stumble upon your show?
Working the door is kind of not a challenge, but, whenever I'm doing the door, you just kind of got to feel out every person that comes up to the door. If they're there for the show, you ask them if they, basically just for donations. I don't even like to strictly charge people. If somebody doesn't have $3, they don't have $3, If somebody has a little less, if they feel like donating it, that's cool, but, we'd rather have people in there for free than not at all, and when it comes to the hotel guests, once I figure out their guests, you're just like, just come on in, because, if you're staying in a hotel that actually has a bar, and you pull in relatively late and you got $5 in your pocket, after getting the room, it's just like, I'll just go downstairs and get a beer, you get some jerk off at the door that, for $2, it's like, we're charging $2 or $3 tonight. And it's like, oh, great. Now I got enough for a PBR if I'm lucky and a 50-cent tip for the bartender. So,
all right. Well, let's see. Is this track still rolling at all, or can you talk about the one we just heard?
We just heard Delaria. That was a shorter track, and I just rambled all over it.
But that's all right. But tell us about them.
They are really good. Great local metal band, three-piece. These guys are originally from Atchison, but they're basically based out of Lawrence now. Met them a little over a year ago at a party, at a barn party out south of town at our friend Greg's house. It was like Cast Pattern and Blank Face Murder and Noise Complaint, and Delaria was the only band I didn't know, and they pretty much blew all of us away. I talked to one of them, and usually whenever I end up talking to a band or, feel like asking them for one of their numbers or best way to get a hold of them, they, more often than not, I don't think they take me all that seriously, especially when I tell them the places, it's like, you don't want them to think, well, I'm going to get you all these bottleneck gigs and jackpot and replay and all these great gigs. And so it's like, hey, would you guys mind if I hit you up about Duffy's or the Pool Room sometime? I don't know how hard up for gigs you guys are, but some bands really like the thought of it. Some bands are kind of like, I don't know if we want to do that to ourselves. But I see it both ways. So.
Cool. What do we listen to now?
Noise Complaint. another good Lawrence. More on the rock side than the metal side, definitely. But
So a lot of the music that you do falls into the metal punk kind of broad
spectrum,
but not entirely. Perhaps you'd give us a little clearer picture of, you know, the type of music that you work with a lot.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess I think a lot of metal and rock bands around here, especially, are needing, I think I end up working with them more because a lot of them need more places to play. I think it's, I wouldn't say it's easier for some of the lighter bands around here to get gigs or whatever, but maybe it's to a degree it is, you know, whether it's kind of a more indie rock sound or, you know, reggae jam bands, whatever. But I like working with pretty much anybody that's down. Braintree Forest Fire is a good example. Really cool, kind of hippie noise jam kind of thing. Takedown Theory, pretty good local reggae band. They're a little newer, so I don't think many people have heard them around here. But acoustic stuff like But Keep the Old, which is Chris Hess and Emily Howard. Chris lives here. Emily's from out of town. Ryan Huebner from Kansas City. Really good acoustic stuff, but I just kind of you know, whoever. I've gotten to where I don't really bother like listening to much music at home. I'm kind of a bad person to ask about musical opinions, but when it comes to I don't know who's got a good vibe to them, you know, personality wise or sound wise, I kind of go more for that booking wise nowadays.
So when you're doing like three shows a week, how do you afford your rock and roll lifestyle? St. Patty's Day every day, I believe, is the way you described it.
Yeah, well, I don't drink a whole lot. I mean, that's not to say I don't get drunk. I just, you know, I keep most of my drinking to Free State, where we work our day jobs, and so as for rock and roll life. I kind of prefer Bottleneck and Tap Room, you know, just vibe wise, you know, physically, atmosphere wise, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
How do I afford it? I don't know.
With doing a lot of shows, you know, out at the West Lawrence locations, like Duffy's,
yeah.
In the Bullroom, is the downtown scene something that you hope to get into more?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've always kind of hoped for that. But, you know, I guess, you know, Duffy's is real cool, but, you know, a lot of those places are, you know, we book there more out of necessity, you know. It's fairly hard getting shows downtown, you know, whether it's people's calendar or, you know, venues' calendars or needing good demos or, you know, whether they think the band is going to draw or not. It's just sometimes, you know, a little easier at this point. So
yeah. I mean, I think you give a really good access point for younger bands that maybe don't have recordings yet.
Yeah.
Or do you turn anybody down? Do you have to like something to book something?
Well, I don't have to like it. It's more like, I mean, that sounds weird, but it's more like if I got stuff open, if I got dates open, or if I know that I'm going to have some dates open in the next few months, I definitely, you know, tell people I don't have anything at the moment. Keep hitting me up. You know, keep reminding me, especially because so hard after a while to like keep track of everybody that you want to get to. And I mean, there's bands that I've that I've wanted to get to and just forgotten about, you know, over the year, over the months and years, because just, you know, you just kind of go with whoever's fresh on your mind after a while.
Cool. What is this now?
The Coventry Sacrifice.
And here it is. So you've had this rolling for a couple years now, Nameless Entertainment. What are some of the things you hope to accomplish this year and in the future, you know, beyond that?
Getting out of town with bands a little more, especially more in the, I guess, the region, I guess, whether, you know, I mean, smaller towns are kind of an untapped market for a lot of bands, really. I mean, places like Ottawa, which is like half an hour south of here, for anybody that doesn't know. You know, Wichita, obviously not a smaller town, but, you know, Emporia, Manhattan, especially Kansas. I've got kind of a thing lately with trying to connect bands in the state to each other. That way they've got, you know, they can keep going out of town and doing fairly well for themselves and meeting more bands still. But, I mean, with gas prices, the economy, all that, I just think that more bands are going to need to start playing more spots on tour. You know, they try to go to Denver, to Kansas City, to St. Louis, to Chicago, to all these big cities, and they more often than not leave the smaller places out. But even the bands that, you know, do hit the college towns, like, you know, Lawrence, Columbia, Norman, Fayetteville, stuff like that, they're probably going to need to, some of those bands are probably going to be willing to play more places if it's going to make them a little more money. And small town shows, I mean, some of them don't do so well, but more often than not, a lot of them do really well, you know, especially when you got inexperienced, you know, venue owners that are charging $6, $7, $8 for local shows, and it's just kind of
ridiculous.
Like, yeah, it's just like, you know, what, Chicago prices, but,
Unlike you, who can barely stomach to charge $3.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's like, man, I don't know if we want to charge $4 for this show, but yeah, it's just kind of whatever.
Cool. What are we rocking now?
Brainbow.
And can you give us a quick introduction?
Great Kansas City guys. I've seen them revise a lot of their music over the past couple of years, too. Not even revise it, just kind of rewrite some of it and make it a little more, even more rocking, but not metal, but rock, definitely.
Do you think there's much of a house venue scene in Lawrence? Is that something you're involved in much?
Unfortunately, I haven't ever really had much involvement with a house scene around here.
I almost feel like what you're doing is sort of that, except it happens to be in, like, hotels in the pool room, you know?
Yeah, we just kind of ran out of places to party, so we just kind of had to move to, like, Vermont Street Barbecue and places like that. But, I kind of... Actually, that is how I started out. I never exactly ever set out to do anything like this. It just kind of happened with... I had a coworker and a good friend of mine, Sean O'Brien, who I used to work with at KU, who at the time he lived out in the country, out kind of on the way to Stull, out west of town, and he wanted to have some keg parties. He wanted to have some bands. He didn't know any bands. I had plenty of friends that were in bands, and so he had a show for his birthday about 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago, and And, you know, he got totally wasted, and at the end of it, he gets on the microphone, and he's like, "Hey, everybody, thanks for coming out. We're going to be doing this again next month." And I'm like, "Oh, awesome. We're going to be doing this again next month." And then it's just kind of really, literally, like, every month for, like, the rest of the year to, like, Halloween. Then we moved on to another friend's house, had a few parties there, but they, noise and all that. And then I had a friend that worked at Vermont Street Barbecue, and he let us do some shows there, and that's how... How it just kind of spiraled from there.
Cool. So, what are we listening to?
This is The Terrible Airplane from Wichita.
Cool. And while we're listening to this, maybe I'll let you think about some of the more interesting experiences you've had. Mm-hmm. Any particular nights that perhaps stick out in your memory.
Sometimes we'd like to forget.
We'll be right back. So I'm sure it's hard to keep track with, you know, as many shows as you do, but are there any in particular that kind of stick out in the recesses of your memory as particularly weird ones?
Yeah, pretty much every show has its own little story, but there are some that are more story than show. And it was about 3 years ago, almost, was doing a Vermont Street Barbecue show with a band from Wichita called The Empress. I'm not even sure if they're still around anymore. They were supposed to headline. They got there, and one of the guys in particular had to play first. Had to play first because he had to work at like 7 in the morning. And I don't know why. I showed up in a bad mood for some reason. And I was just like, all right, well, fine, we'll work this out somehow. And you know, nowadays I'd just be like, well, you got to play last, or you know, I'm sorry, but we can't have you at all, you know, I mean, because they were kind of the main draw, and so they went ahead and set up and kind of got on a little late, and they played, and they went a little over, and I kept trying to cut them off, you know, giving them the warning, but that didn't seem to work, and then basically what probably would have been their last song, I ended up, like, turning off the PA, like, between songs, which, you know, I would never do that now, but at the time it was just like, hey, we got other bands going on, you know, and you guys have, you know, the order is all out of whack now, and some other bands are getting screwed here. So they left, you know, in not a very good mood, and And at the time, I was like, all right, well, you know, whatever. A few months later, I tagged along with a band called Long Division to Denver because they were playing the third day of a three-day festival called Denver Fest. And I knew the Empress was going to be on the first day. So I was like, all right, well, you know, hopefully everything's cool. Some of those guys were still there, like Emil and Mark were still there and on the third day when we were there. And we ran into each other, and we didn't really recognize each other for a minute, but we were all talking to the same people. Then they brought it up. It's like, hey, didn't you work at Vermont Street Barbecue or whatever? I was like, well, I remember you guys now. And we talked, we smoothed everything over, and, you know, we all hung out and drank and all that stuff all day. And then and it was really a good thing, because at the end of the night, we begged Otto Kenaton for a place to stay, a really cool local band, and they told one of the guys that wasn't even going to his house that night, gave us directions to his house, and he was like, yeah, just go on in, there's some other people staying the night there, the other guys are there, they won't mind. So we get there, we knock on the door at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and we're like, one of your other members told us, Andrew told us that you could, that we could stay here or whatever. And like, oh yeah, come on in. And we get in there, and there's Emil and Mark from the Empress, you know, staying there too. So luckily everything worked out. That might have been a little awkward, but
do you find it difficult to deal with people's temperaments sometimes?
I used to. Now I, not so much anymore. I mean, I'm kind of a moody person anyway. A lot of people would be like, well, you know, Joe calling somebody else temperamental might be a little, you know, pot calling the kettle black. But at the same time, I more or less, you know, people's attitudes don't really bother me much anymore. You know, I know that once they play, they're going to be in a better mood, you know.
Cool. We're coming to the end of our music here. Yeah, and maybe you could just set up this last one. It's Dead Commuter.
Dead Commuter from Wichita.
Cool. We'll check it out.
Real quick, though.
Yeah.
Is there any way we could give an honorable mention to Mind Control? We didn't have enough time to put on the mix. Mind Control, love you guys.
Honorable shout out. All right, Joe, we want to thank you for coming on in and checking out all these bands, or introducing us to them, rather.
Thanks for having me.
Any closing thoughts on, you know, the Lawrence music scene, and, you know, what it needs or what could make it better?
Well, it'd be nice if more people would, you know, just take the initiative and try and find more spaces here and there for more shows. I mean, it doesn't even have to be, like, people trying to do something regular, you know. It'd just be nice if people would utilize their living rooms, or, you know, their empty buildings or something more for shows. I mean, you know, the Haunted Kitchen was a great place for house shows. It's not around anymore. Gaslight's gone, so lose some people there too, but just be nice to see some more shows in more untypical places.
So Holiday Inn, if you're listening.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Holodome.
Holodome.
Keep your fingers crossed.
VFWs, Eagles Lodges all across the nation.
Hey, there are shows at those sorts of places always.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah. Yeah, that's no joke.
Do you do all ages shows mostly?
Well, they usually end up having to be labeled as 18 and up. But we if they're not 21, they're getting next. We'll just put it that way. So
gotcha. Okay, cool. Further information on Nameless Entertainment and a full list of shows is available
at thing. The display name on MySpace is Nameless Entertainment, but the URL is still myspace.com/freebeerproductions. the old name.
Well, that sounds enticing.
Back in the good old days, yeah.
And you can also catch Joe down at Free State.
Yeah.
If you're
almost every day.
So.
Almost every day, working or not. So.
All right, man. Well, party like it's St. Patrick's Day.
All over again.
All over again.
Thank you, Richard.
See you later, man.
Take it easy.